It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of John, John chapter 17. We're reading from the 20th verse down through the end of the chapter to verse 26. John chapter 17, beginning to read with verse 20. While you're opening your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to send us a note, and we always appreciate hearing from you, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. That's Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles, find John chapter 17, and we'll begin reading with the 20th verse. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, will be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let's begin with a word of prayer after the reading of the word. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can enjoy this time together. It's just a wonderful opportunity to spend with you, with these folks, concerning your word, learning your word, coming to know you as our Savior. Whatever the need may be today, we know that your power and your strength can care for it and take care of it. So please, Lord, that you will strengthen us and guide and lead us. It is a wonderful opportunity that you have given us, and I thank you for it, Lord, that you could use me in such a way to proclaim the word. I praise you for it, Lord. Please, that you take your word now, not the words that I say, but your word, and touch the hearts of every listener, Lord. Please today do this and bring people to you that they'll be saved, and grow people closer to you that they may walk a life and share the gospel and bring honor and glory unto you, Lord, please. I thank you for this sweet prayer that we have, and please that you will guide and lead us now in the study of it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've talked about how that the people always look to the Lord's Prayer. And if you go back in earlier in Matthew, why, you'll find the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's what everybody calls the Lord's Prayer. That is a prayer that we are to use to learn how to pray, not that we're to quote it and repeat it word for word. Scripture tells us, do not do it in vain repetition. And yet that's exactly what we do. We say it so often and so quickly that we give very little thought to what we're saying. And you think about that when you're saying that. Are you really considering what it means and thinking about it? And it, again, it's an outline is what it is. This here in John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. God the Father is hearing from the Son, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is praying to his Father. This is the Lord's Prayer, and it is a beautiful prayer. We have been studying it now for several times that we've been together, and we're continuing to do so, and probably will finish it today through the end of this chapter. And so please enjoy the time as we come. And the Scripture tells us now, as we begin with the 20th verse, it says, now pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. As the word of God is proclaimed, people are the Holy Spirit convicts the heart. And as the Holy Spirit convicts the heart, a person has a decision. And that conviction is something that comes, it brings you to a place of decision. It shows you who you are. It will show you the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That's the place, one of the ministries, one of the workings of the Holy Spirit, as He directs you to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, can take your sin away once you've come by faith to Him. And then the Son brings us to the Father, to where we can go right to God the Father and speak to Him and fellowship with Him. And here, as the Son is speaking to the Father, is fellowshipping with the Father, is what we would call is praying. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Everyone that was walking with the Lord Jesus at this time when He is recording this, or while they're saying this, speaking this, it means them. But it also means everyone that has ever come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me. I'm one of the shalls. I'm one that came 2,000 years later and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He has taken my sin away, and He is praying for me. It's wonderful that we have such a high priest. You know, we talk about the Lord Jesus being our Savior, and He is our Savior. He went to the cross of Calvary and died upon that cross, and then was buried and rose again, that you and I can live. We must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, meet Him at the cross. You hear me say that many, many times. We speak very clearly. I try to proclaim the Word of God in a simple manner, as simple as I can, so that all can understand, because the very smart, the very educated, they must come humbly and come before the Lord as anyone will, whether we're smart or ignorant, whether we're well-educated or not. It has no bearing on our decision to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is what has the bearing is your decision. We have a free will. Are you going to come by faith to Jesus or not? You don't need to study some book and confirm that's right because of some man's teaching. You must go to the Word of God, listen to the call. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You hear me say that verse of Scripture many times. You hear me tell you, according to John chapter 3, that you must be born again. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus, be saved, become one of the elect, one of the chosen. But it's your decision. You have a free will. You have an opportunity to come right now. Now, please, that you come and not ignore this opportunity. We serve a God that loves us. Now, He loves us so much that He sent His Son. He doesn't love us so much that He will ignore our sin. And so if you're hoping that He will just look aside at your sin, to where He will not condemn you to the lake of fire, you are condemned already. The Lord Jesus Christ is not condemning you. You are condemned already. Yes, there's going to be a time. That time is at the great white throne judgment, that you will stand before Him as judge, and He will condemn you to the lake of fire. But it's your own doing. You have an opportunity right now to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you not only that He is your Savior, He has come to you. The Holy Spirit is calling you today that you'll be saved, that you'll come to Him. But now that the Lord Jesus has finished the work of redemption, He did that 2,000 years ago. Then He went back to be with His Father. And as He is with His Father, seated at the right hand of the throne of God the Father, is where the Son, the Lord Jesus, is at right now, alive, living. But we find a picture here, because that position, that place that He holds today, is not only Savior, but He is our High Priest. And He will take the position as King. All these will fulfill the Word of God, God's Word as He has spoken, because you see, it's true. It is never mistaken. It's never wrong. But I want to look just a little bit at this position of High Priest. if we go back into the Old Testament, and we're not going to take time to turn back into Exodus and Leviticus and look at the tabernacle. I love the study of the tabernacle. But as we look at the position and the place that the high priest had in service to God in the tabernacle, he would, once a year, he had many responsibilities, but once a year on the Day of Atonement, he would take the blood of an animal. He would come forward into the holy place. We find, according to the Word of God, that he sprinkles the blood on the golden altar, the prayer altar, also known as the incense altar. But then he would proceed on in, into the Holy of Holies, never without the blood. And he would go forward to the throne of God on earth, and that's what the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat, and then we have the cherubims on each end of this beautiful piece of furniture in this small room. It's just a 15 by 15 and 15 feet tall. But the high priest would enter in with the blood. And when he went in, he had certain apparel on, clothing on. And one of those parts was the ephod. The ephod was also kind of a breastplate. And when he would come before God, he would have this piece of clothing on. And it had a couple of things that I want to share with you. It had the onyx stones as the straps would hold this ephod, this breastplate, kind of the piece of clothing that would go in front across his chest and then down his back as well. But the straps that held it also had stones upon it, onyx stones. It had one on each shoulder. These onyx stones, then, on those stones was sketched the 12 tribes of Israel. And so upon his shoulders were listed the 12 tribes of Israel. Also, on the breastplate, the front that covered his chest, covered his heart, also upon this breastplate, it too had the listing. There were 12 precious stones. We find that there were 3 in a row and there were 4 rows. And upon each stone was listed one of the tribes of Israel. And then, of course, there are 12. So all 12 are listed. So here upon the breastplate of the high priest, across his heart, was the 12 tribes, the nation of Israel. On his shoulders, we find also the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes listed. Two things that tells us. Number one, he is our strength. He carries us. And it is wonderful to know that we serve and have an all-powerful God, a God that will protect us and will care for us. He carries us on his shoulders. He is strong, his strength. The breastplate, we find too that not only is he strong and mighty and powerful, but we also see him as love because it protects the heart. And so we have a God that, yes, is a God of power and a God of judgment and a God of strength, but also we have a God that loves us. And when he presented, when the high priest goes before God the Father, goes into the Holy of Holies, he always goes with the blood, and he always takes us and presents us before God the Father. Now, what a beautiful picture that has clear back in the book of Exodus and Leviticus as we look at the ministry and the work of the tabernacle and the high priest and what he is, what he means to us. Well, the Lord Jesus is our high priest if you've come by faith to him and trusted in him. And so please that you not only come by faith and be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is your Savior. He died on the cross for you. He also is making intercession. He is your mediator between from me to God the Father. I can go right to God the Father through the Son, the Lord Jesus, because he is my high priest. Wonderful that we have such a God that will mediate between ourselves and God. And it's wonderful to know that if you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, even though we still live in the flesh here on earth, we still do commit sin. Because of our faith coming to Jesus Christ, a faith God gives us, a belief that God gives us, if you'll just come, He will give you that strength. If you've chosen not to come to Jesus Christ today, it's not because God has not given you everything that you need to be saved. He has delivered everything to you. He has given you faith. He has given you the belief. He has given you everything. But until you accept that, it's your doing. It is your doing. Until you believe in your heart, everything is presented to you, and you have the power, a God-given power, to be saved. But until you accept that and believe it, will it be to your account? And so it's to you. Now, we talked about these onyx stones being on the shoulders of the high priest. Well, this right now is on your shoulders, because it's your responsibility of what you're going to do, to whether you're going to come to Jesus Christ or not come to the Lord Jesus. It's wonderful here. Neither pray I for these alone, not just for these few. I pray for everyone that shall believe. Everyone that hears the word, trusts in the word, and comes by faith to me, I pray for them. Wonderful that we have such a God, a high priest, that will help us, will bring us and draw us closer unto the Lord Jesus. You know, we have the Holy Spirit that comes to live within our heart. He helps us. He directs us. He gives us strength. We come then to the next step, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, which He is, the Holy Spirit takes no glory. God the Son takes no glory. Both direct us unto God the Father and allow us to go directly to God the Father because of the work of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to be a believer in Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to walk after the Lord Jesus. And it's wonderful knowing that He is praying for me, because I'm a part of that 20th verse. That they all may be one. It continues in verse 21. As Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. As we look to that scripture verse, believers are one in Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to have such a high priest as the Lord Jesus. It's wonderful to have, again, a God that loves us so much. But He does not love you so much that He will ignore your sin. You must come by faith so that He can take your sin away. He did all the work upon the cross at Calvary, when He died there for you. All the work of redemption was finished, but it does not go to your account until you come by faith. When you come by faith, we become one in Christ. Believers are one in Christ. The church is one body. It is not a certain name on a church, not a certain denomination. Many people promote that it is one, and that is not true. The only way that you can become one in Christ is to come by faith to Jesus Christ. Ask Him into your heart. Begin that wonderful walk and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. The only way that you can become a member of the church and be a part of that body, one body, is to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and come by faith. That's how it goes. It's not through baptism. It's not through any kind of works that you may perform, whether it be to join the church or, again, baptism or communion or anything to do with some marvelous work that you're doing. That has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation hinges upon a decision that you must make to come by faith to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you've come, then that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee. Do you see the close relationship that comes to a believer? The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the Father, and He says, you know, they will be one as we are one. We talk about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how that they are three independent persons, and yet they are one. Now, we become one in them when we believe, and the Son says, as we are, speaking to the Father, so will they be in me, when they believe. And it's so important that you come by faith to Jesus Christ. We must follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must enjoy the fellowship that produces, that following that comes with that. Please come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, I would like to read today. So if we look here at Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 6, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross." That's how we come to know and how we become and enjoy being a part of the church. Being one in Christ is by coming by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that he did. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Please come by faith to him. Humble yourself. Stop being so prideful. Stop trying to figure it out, trying to work your way. Come by faith to Jesus Christ. Do you see the work, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 8 through 8, that he did for you? Please, you come by faith to the Lord Jesus and follow him. Again, that they also may be one in us. Be as us, one in us. Look at the opportunity that we have as a child of God, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, a lot of people believe, and maybe that's you, that Jesus was a very good man, that he did some good works. He was a moral man, but he was not God. The Scripture, through these verses, as we go to this Lord's Prayer, the true Lord's Prayer, we find many times he is confirming that God the Father sent him. I am from God the Father. I am God. The Scripture continues to tell us and confirm. Please don't miss that. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. So we have enjoyed not only learning that we become one in Christ, we become a member of the church. And again, it's if you are following after Christ, you have believed in Jesus Christ, and then you follow the doctrines taught in his word. You know, today, that's the big key word or buzzword or whatever you want to call it today, that we're to all be one, all be in fellowship with each other, no matter what your belief is. Oh, you believe the word a little different than I do, but that's okay because that's just your interpretation. No, the word of God is not for our private interpretation. The word of God is presented to us. We are directed by the Holy Spirit to follow after the Word of God, to follow God's strength, God's Word, God's direction. He will give us wisdom, and we must follow that very carefully and very clearly, and don't veer from it. Don't leave it to be named to be one with somebody else, because if they're contrary to God's Word, then why do we want to have fellowship with them? We're told, according to the Word of God, to stay away from them, have no part of them if they deny the Word of God. And many of them do not preach the gospel. Many of them tack on works of some means or another, whether it be baptism. Many of them believe that they have a forgiveness of sins through the communion or the Lord's Supper. There's many things there that is contrary to God's Word and takes completely and totally away the power of God. I do not want to do anything that takes the power of God away. Please, to be one in Jesus Christ is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Once you have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, then we are, as this Scripture tells us, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one." Glory. The nature and acts of God, what he essentially is and does. This glory, this is shown us in the character and the acts of Christ Jesus when he was here upon earth in the flesh. His grace, his power was manifest. That's the teachings, the nature, the act of God, what we are told in His Word of how we're to walk and what we're to follow after, what we're to believe. We are to be one in Jesus Christ. In verse 22, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them." I have shown to them, I have given to them the very acts of God, the nature of God, what He does. I have shown these followers, these believers, who You are, God. I have shown You to them clearly. Now, we're to follow that. That is what glory is to follow after God's direction, God's Word, and we have that in His precious Word. Why do you want to veer from that? Why do you want to change that? And again, verse 22, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one." That is unity. That's one, to be Christ-like. Not to compromise and be like everybody else, but to be Christ-like. And many times you'll find to be Christ-like, you will find to stand alone. To stand alone with the power and the strength of God. Oh, there's other followers out there. You'll find them. But as you'll experience too, there's a lot of people that say, "Yes, I am a believer in Jesus Christ. Yes, I walk after the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I love God. Yes, I pray to God." But as you follow them, as you watch them, you'll find very quickly that those people do not walk after the glory of God, not what God has taught them in His Word. This is the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is teaching us His Word. We must follow that. And when it says here in verse 22, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them." I have shown You them. Jesus is speaking to the Father, and He's saying, "Father, I have taken You and I have shown You to these people how You are, who You are, what You are, and how they're to live. I've given them an example." So we must follow after that example and not veer from it, not leave it. It's so important that we look and realize that His grace and His power was manifest us, was shown to us. And when it says here, "And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them." We have seen it, that they may be one. This is how we become one in Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ, meeting Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. As He died there for us, He is our perfect offering, our perfect sacrifice. Come by faith and trust in Him. Then begin to follow His Word, the truth. That's the reason this program is listed, the truth. We don't have the nonsense. We speak the truth, and we spend our time in studying the Word of God. The truth, the Word of God. I want to take you just for a minute here, and I want to show you John chapter 1, verse 14. It is a very common verse of Scripture, and not common in the means of not being powerful, but common in that it is one that many of you know. John chapter 1, verse 14. John 1, 14 here. I will find it for you quickly. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Glory. That same wonderful word, glory. "Please, the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one." Did you ever stop to think what the word glory meant? I hope today that that has helped you to see your need, that you need a Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope that you have seen not only is He your Savior, but He can be your High Priest, your Mediator to God the Father. I hope that you can see carefully now what that unity or to be one in Christ is all about. And it's not joining somebody with a combination of beliefs. It is following the truth, the Word of God. You know, it's so important that we look each and every day. We study the Word every day. We enjoy the time of fellowship. We have such a short time that we have to come together, but I praise God for that opportunity. We give Him the honor and glory. I'm going to ask you, as I always do, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?